afternoon. Today, we are so glad that you have taken out time this afternoon to join us to find all the answers that pertain to life and godliness from, get this, from the Bible, of all things. That's why this program is called Let the Bible Speak. And so we are glad that you have taken out time to join us today. On the next 90 minutes, we're going to go to the Bible for the answers that pertain to life and godliness. Now, we have one line available of our voice line. If you would like to call, 308-9564 right now. Just let it ring until we get to you, and we'll be glad to get your question. Either you can go live over the air, or you can have your question written down and brought into us. The question is yours. The theme of today's broadcast is yours, but the answers will come from God. Now, there's another way if you'd like to. If you have a cell phone and would rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text line, and thus you can also communicate with us that way here at the studio, and we will go to the Bible for the question that you ask that pertains to life and godliness. We're so glad that you are taking out time this afternoon and that you are able to stay awake on this Sunday afternoon to be able to find more information about what God says in His Word. And so please know, the voice line is available, 308-9564. Now, the benefits of this program is you're going to be able to hear what God says in His Word. You will not be listening to what man says. You will not be listening to what church doctrine says or what majority of people say or what's politically correct. Regardless of those things, what we're going to do is just go to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says that we have, through the knowledge of Him, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Timothy 3, 16-17 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly equipped to every good work. So why not go there to find the answers? Especially when you consider the warning that God gives in Galatians 1, verse 8. Though we, Paul says, are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we've preached to you, let him be accursed. Wow. So if we go anywhere else for the answer, well, then we're actually asking God to curse us with a super curse. That's literally the idea there in that word anathema. So let's not go anywhere else for the answer. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to God, His Word, to find all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. One more time. The numbers are, the voice line is 308-9564. Both lines are available, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck, I believe you've got the first question.
I do. Barbara called in a question, and Barbara's question is about tithing. She says, when was it started? What was it for? And should we do it today? Excuse me. Well, tithing was started in the Old Testament. It was a command from God for the Jews. And of the 12 tribes of Israel, one of the tribes, the tribe of Levi, they were not allowed to do outside work. They were charged with taking care of the temple and doing the things of God. Specifically, they were, since they could not have outside jobs and they were supposed to work in the temple and take care of God's temple, they were supposed to be supported by the other 11 tribes. And so that is what the tithes were originally for. The tithes were originally for the tribe of Levites to take care of them. And so each of the other 11 tribes was supposed to give a tithe or a 10th% of their goods in order to provide for the tribe of the Levites. So that's when it started, and that was before. And as far as should we do it today, well, the command to tithe, as far as giving a 10% for the tribe of the Levites, well, there's no record of the tribe of the Levites anymore. The temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and so we have no true record of the Jews. Now, the Old Testament command of tithing was not repeated in the New Testament. So that was one of the things, one of the commandments of the Old Testament that was nailed to the cross. And we see that in Colossians chapter 2. In Colossians chapter 2 in verse 14, it says that having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. That's Colossians 2, verse 14. So tithing, that was one of the commandments that was nailed to the cross because it is not repeated in the New Testament. Of the commandments of in the Old Testament, if it wasn't repeated in the New Testament, it's not something that we should observe in terms of things that pertain to life and godliness. Now, if we're not supposed to tithe, how are we supposed to give? Now, that answer is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, as well as 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 9. So that's where, excuse me, 6 through 8. So those are the New Testament commands on how we are supposed to give money to the Lord. So it's not constrained to just a tenth. So you can give more than a 10th percent or you can give less than a 10th percent. But once again, for the Old Testament command of giving a 10% or a tithe to God, once again, that was for the tribe of the Levites. And we do not do that under the New Testament command. Hopefully that's been helpful to you, Barbara, as well as anyone else who may have had that question. Once again, that was Colossians 2:14, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, and 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8. 308-9564, 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. Ricky, you have a question?
Yes, by the way, our text line is 725-9283, 725-9283, and we'll be glad to get your question on today as well. And talking about the text line, the next question is from a text to us. The last three digits are 969, and their question is, what does the Bible say about ministers' behavior and its effect on others? Well, that's a good question. I don't think we've ever had that exact question given to us on the radio broadcast. And so, but I would direct you to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, where it talks to Timothy as the word minister. Let's talk about words. The word minister means a servant, and so you're talking about a special servant. Many times today, they liken minister and preacher as the same thing. And technically speaking, biblically, I guess that would be true because every saint is a minister. Every saint is supposed to be sharing God's word. That's the mission that we're on. And so there are parameters concerning male or female service, but still, everybody is to be a servant of the church. And so 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, to answer your question, here are the guidelines. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Until I come, give attention to reading, exhortation, and doctrine, and do not neglect the gift which is given to you. So we've got to make certain that we serve with the best of our ability to be an example of those whom we serve in whatever capacity and whatever situation we may find ourselves in. And so hopefully that has been helpful to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. I think we have a live caller standing by.
Ben, are you with us? How are you doing today, Ben?
How can we help you, Ben?
I'm doing great.
What's the question?
Go ahead with your question.
My question is about my personal walk with God. My question is, me being a single man, of God, how do I go about finding that virtuous woman. Like Proverbs chapter 31, it said, who can find a virtuous woman? I want to know how to go about that.
Well, first of all, I would direct you to that passage there in Proverbs 31. It describes the kind of woman that every female minister, servant, Christian should try to be in great detail. That's an awesome passage that would be a good guideline for the kind of person that you're going to be looking for.
Right.
Second of all, you would need to make certain that you're eligible to be able to be married, because there's a lot of people that have so dug a hole for themselves into multiple marriages, and then multiple affairs and things as that, to where that it couldn't even be figured out by a Philadelphia lawyer. Now, God will figure it out, but there is only three people that can marry today, and that is people that have never been married, people that have been married and their mate has died. That's Romans chapter 7. And then a third person can marry would be the person that has been married and their mate has been unfaithful to them, committing fornication, and they were put away for fornication. That's Matthew chapter 9, verses 3 through 12. What did I say? I'm sorry. Thank you. Matthew chapter 19. That's why we have two behind the mics here, so that we can help each other. Matthew 19, verses 3 through 12. And so those are the passages that show that the person that is eligible to be married. Now, if you fit into one of those three categories, then by all means, first start on your knees and then get up off your knees and look for that woman in Proverbs 31. And you will have found a jewel far above rubies, the passage brings out.
Amen.
And now where are you going to look for them? By the way, you don't look for them in a bar.
Right.
You don't look for them down on the street corner. Or many other places. You're only going to find those kind of people doing godly things. And so you would want to go and put yourself in a place where those kind of women would be.
Right. That's why Paul said it is good as he is unmarried. That's why Paul, being unmarried, he cares. The unmarried man cares about the things of the Lord, and the unmarried at woman, she cares about the things of the Lord.
First Corinthians chapter 7 there, you're right.
Right.
All right, well, thank you, Ben. We sure do appreciate that very much. And you have a wonderful day.
I sure enough will.
Okay, God bless you. Again, the number is 308-9564. The lines are now open, 308-9564. If you have a question, don't hesitate to call right now. We can go ahead and get your question on the air. It is time for us to take our first break. While we are at break, you can continue to call in your questions, and thus we're able to get your question, and you will be look for your question on the other side of the break. Again, while we are at break, call your questions, 308-9564. The text line is 725-9283. One more time, we're going to offer, if you want to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course, or if you've never gotten the Bible DVD that we are giving out free, we're going to do this one more time today. If you want the DVD and you've not enrolled so far or not received it, please call the operator standing by. We're about to tell you about. By the way, that number is 553-5157. We'll send you the DVD and the Bible reading schedule for 2014. And so it's our gift to you, to help you in your journey and your walk with the Lord. So don't miss out on this free offer. We're giving that as well today, in addition to the Bible Correspondence Course. So don't hesitate. Here's the information on how to enroll in the course. And in addition to what the break may say, we're going to be sending a DVD and a Bible reading schedule. Here's the details.
Call in question and answer program. We want to continue to remind you to take advantage and encourage you to take advantage, please, of the Bible Correspondence Course that we are offering, as well as the Bible reading schedule for if you want to read through the Bible in the new year approaching, 2014, you can read through just the Old Testament or just the New Testament or both, the entire Bible, as well as the free DVD that we're offering as well. So you can get a lot of things if you dial 553-5157. We are trying to encourage you to take advantage of those opportunities to receive some free Bible material that will help you and aid you in your walk with God and learning more of the scriptures, and not just taking what Pastor so-and-so says or whatever the case may be, but we should be doing a lot more than just, we don't just go to church on Sunday and think that that's our life as a Christian. So hopefully we can encourage you to get into God's word more, apply it to your life, and continue to be more encouraged to spread the word to others. So please go ahead and take advantage of that Bible correspondence course, the Bible reading schedule, as well as the DVD. 553-5157 is that number to enroll and take advantage of those opportunities. To call us here at the station today, the number is 308-9564. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station, as well as the text line that we have available. You can take that route. The text line is 725-9283, 725-9283.
Ricky? Yes, we have two questions on the subject of marriage that we touched on earlier. Jimmy wants to know about how should one put away a wife? When and how can a person do that? And so there is that question. And then right after that, a question came in from Lisa. What about marriage where drug and alcohol is involved? What to do then? Well, still, regardless of whatever circumstance or hole that we get ourselves in by our living according to the world, living according to the world's standards, still the Bible stays the same. The same rule, the same authority, the same instructions, the guidelines about marriage, divorce, and remarriage are all stay the same thing. No matter how many kind of different scenarios or questions may come up, it still stays the same. Well, what is the same? All right, I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 19, beginning with verse 3. The Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him, and said, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason? Well, alcohol, drugs, abuse, all kind of things along that line. Well, here's Jesus' answer. Have you not heard or have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. There's the answer. There's the rule. There's the guidelines for marriage. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God hath joined together, let no man separate. So when God has joined two together, no one has the right to separate. So far, he's already said, no, it is not right for them to separate. Well, then verse 7 says, well, why then did Moses give a command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away? And he said to them, Moses, because the hardness of your heart permitted you to divorce your wife, but from the beginning it was not so. So there again, he says, doesn't matter what Moses did, what matters is what God says. And now God, of course, through Christ here is speaking. Christ says, I say to you, whosoever divorces his wife, I'm skipping the next phrase, just want you to know that, I'll come back in a second. Whosoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery. Whosoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Now, there was that exception I skipped over. The exception to that rule is, except for sexual immorality or fornication. That is the only exception to that rule, and that would be true of both genders, both husband and wife, either way. Mark chapter 10, verse 11, 12 swaps the genders, and so just so you know, it's not just a gender or picking on women. Well, his disciples said, said to him, well, if that's the case with a man and his wife, it's better not to marry. And Jesus said to them, well, all cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are, now listen, interesting. It's interesting here that Jesus brings this up. He says, for there are eunuchs. Eunuchs are those that have chosen not to use their bodies in this sexual way. For there are eunuchs that were born thus from their mother's womb physically. And there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men for some reason or another. And then there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. So, yeah, this is a real tough circumstance that we're called upon, especially if we have so abused this privilege of marriage and sexuality to the point to where there's just no way to unscramble all of that. Well, Jesus doesn't say you're bound for hell. You can still become a eunuch for the kingdom of God's sake. So the truth of the matter is that from the beginning, it was God's plan for one man with one woman for life. And that's the end of the story. There's one exception there, certainly, but that's the only exception. The other, death, Romans chapter 7 talks about that. We mentioned that earlier. So, Jimmy, Lisa, I hope that's been helpful to you. There's no circumstance that would trump God's discussion of it right there. What God has joined together, let no circumstance that man has come up with put it or trump what God has said there. When he says it, that's exactly what he means. Again, that's Matthew 19, verses 3 through 12. Thank you so much for your question. It's time for our next break. We want you to know that while we are at break, that you can continue to call in your questions, and hopefully more subjects will be entertained, and we'll be able to go to the Bible on all of those subjects that you ask pertaining to life and godliness. The voice line is 308-9564. It's available. There's no one on the line right now. The text line is always available, 725-9283. And the line for to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course is also continually available. And we're offering one last time the free DVD and the Bible reading schedule for next year. We'll send to you absolutely free. So make certain that you avail yourselves of that number to enroll in the course or to get those free gifts is 553-5157. Always available. We'll be right back. We're glad to be with you, and we hope and pray that you will take advantage of the free Bible Correspondence Course, and that you will take advantage of the DVD and the Bible reading schedule. We're glad to send to you. I think we have failed to mention or direct you to our website also today. Be mindful of those of you that are computer savvy. We have a website called BibleAlone.com, www.BibleAlone.com. And with that website, you can listen to this program anywhere in the world via the website, hitting the live stream button. Or you can send us a text if you don't have a cell phone. I know a lot of people that just fight against the idea of this technology, but you are on the computer. You can actually text us with the website as well. And you can download also online studies. You can download the Bible Correspondence Course materials from that website as well. So don't miss out on all of the resources of our website, which is BibleAlone.com. And we would be glad to have you join us and participate that way. Now, there is one line available, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Chuck?
We have a caller sending in this question asking about a problem with their pastor. They said, this pastor is abusing authority, this pastor speaks harshly, and they want to know what to do. Well, concerning the two specific problems, abusing authority and speaking harshly, there's a couple of passages we can look at. Concerning abusing authority, look at Matthew chapter 28 in verse 18. Matthew chapter 28 in verse 18, before Jesus ascends back up into heaven, he says something very interesting. So concerning what this pastor that's abusing authority, in Matthew 28 verse 18, it says, then Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So this pastor can't abuse any authority because he doesn't have any authority. Christ has all authority. And so, first of all, that's the first thing that we should be able to recognize. Now, if in this particular church, if this pastor has been given authority by people and they have allowed him to, quote, lord over them or to rule them or such. Now, that's something different than what the picture we see painted in God's church. And so those of you who may be a part of this person who is asking this question or someone else who may fit into this, you should watch what type of situation you are in as far as what church you are a part of, if it's not Christ Church, because the Christ Church looks a certain way. And we should find in the scriptures what that looks like. So concerning this pastor speaking harshly as well, there is Colossians 4:16. In Colossians 4:16, it says, I'm sorry, not 4:16, 4:6. In Colossians 4:6, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. So this, your speech should be with grace, seasoned with salt. So you shouldn't be speaking harshly to people. And lastly, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. That shows the attitude a pastor or elder or bishop or shepherd or overseer. That shows the attitude that they should have. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Here they are told to, in verse 2, it says to shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by constraint, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not being lords over those entrusted you. And then so we see here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, there's some examples of what a pastor should look like. And so that would be something that maybe this pastor needs to be reminded of. Maybe they don't have a bad heart or a hard heart. Maybe they just have lost track of these things. And so maybe there needs to be some people to show him these scriptures, as well as maybe some other scriptures in God's word that can encourage him to change the way he's been serving as a pastor over God's people. So look inside the Bible, look inside God's word in Christ's New Testament, and search and find that church. Look in the book of Acts, find out the characteristics of the Christ church, what it looked like, what the members looked like, and go and find that church and become a member of Christ church. Be a part of Christ church, because it looks a certain way, it sounds a certain way. And you can always go back to God's word and see what it looks like. So don't just feel that you should, for any reason, stay in a group that is not following exactly by God's word to the best of their ability, because that is something that could definitely lead you down the wrong road. So be very careful of that. Once again, that was Matthew 28:18, Colossians 4:6, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. 3089564 3089564 to reach us here at the station. Ricky?
Yes, here's a question that we have not had before. Someone asked about the Luke 1 and verse 26, where it refers to Gabriel being sent in the sixth month. And they want to know, what is that, June, like our calendar, or what month? And, of course, that's a very good question. It is not like our calendar. Our calendar was invented hundreds of years after the Bible was completed. And their sixth month, according to the sacred calendar, would be called Elul, E-L-U-L, and it would be a time frame of August and September. It would be a combination of those 2 months in which that would be referring to, August and September of our calendar. And so, good question. We sure appreciate that. If you do a little bit of search, you can find probably in your Bible the Jewish calendar, a chart in that, if you've got a good study Bible, or you can look it up on the internet easily as well. Thank you so much for your question. Here's another question. It wants to know, what does the Bible say about the Roman Catholic Church and Masons? Okay, if I started to just play something like crickets over the microphone so that you could know what the Bible said, but I'm not going to do that. The Bible says nothing about those two. Matter of fact, it doesn't mention Catholics, Masons, Baptists, Methodists. It doesn't mention Seventh-day Adventists. It doesn't mention you name it, all of those, all of the above. But what it does mention is Jesus said, I will build my church. He also says, if you go by any doctrine other than the doctrine of Christ, you do not have God. 2 John verse 9, whosoever transgresses, that means to go beyond, whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. Whosoever abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. We need to make certain that we're abiding in, following exactly the doctrine of Christ, the teaching. The word doctrine means teaching. The teaching of Christ, His Word, the new covenant which He brought to us. And if anybody goes beyond what it says, first of all, we don't have God. Well, it even takes it a little bit further. If you look in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul himself includes himself in this equation. He says, even if we, including himself, are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what was preached to you, let him be accursed. Wow. Man, that's stern. Yes, it is. God will not allow us to come to any conclusion that will make us feel good about something that we, man, has come up with. If it's new and if it's not in God's Word, it's not true. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what is it that Jesus said will set us free? You shall know the, yeah, that's right. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, what is truth? That was asked Jesus. Pilate asked Jesus that question. However, the answer is contained in Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17 and verse 17. He was praying to his Father, and he says, thy word is truth. So, if we go beyond the truth, then we're certainly not being set free from sin. So, where does that put us? Yeah, big trouble. Let's go to the truth. Let's let the Bible speak on all issues that pertain to life and godliness.
And pertaining to that, we have a question here that's asked, will there be pets in heaven? Well, concerning pets, we live in a day and time where animals are given very, very high importance to people. There are many organizations for animal rights, and you know, a lot of people have house pets and, you know, domesticated animals, and people love animals. Now, there's nothing wrong with loving animals, but there are very great very great lengths people go to, and you know, some even see animals as equal with people. Now let's see what God says about if animals are equal with people. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 28, during the story of the history of the creation of the world, in Genesis 1, verse 28 says, verses 26 and 27 is where man is created. And then verse 28 says, then God blessed them, talking about the man and the woman. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over fish of the sea, over birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So we as people, we have dominion over animals, or power over the animals. So we are higher than animals. We are, if you will, more important than the animals. We were given souls and spirits. We were made in the image of God, and that our spirit will live forever somewhere. There's nowhere in the Bible that shows that animals were made in His image to have a spirit like Him that will live forever. So concerning that as well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 deals with this as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and if you look towards the end of the chapter, you will see something interesting in verse 50. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 50, it says, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corrupt inherit incorruption. And then he goes on, he tells the more about the end of time and where things will change. And this context here in 1 Corinthians 15 is talking about physical, worldly bodies, and it's talking about spiritual, heavenly bodies. So there's a difference. We have our earthly bodies and we have our heavenly bodies. So right now we're in our earthly bodies, but when things change in the end of time, we will, those who are obedient to God and making it to heaven will have heavenly bodies. And so there's no mention of animals anywhere. As far as what we can see in the scriptures, animals were not given spirits to live forever like we do. And animals are just flesh and blood. And what we see in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 50 is that flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. Once again, that was Genesis 1 verse 28 and 1 Corinthians 15 verse 50. It is time for us to take our next break. But even while we're at break, please go ahead and take advantage of the Bible Correspondence course that we're offering, as well as the Bible reading schedule throughout the year, and as well as the free information DVD. So we would encourage you to take advantage of those opportunities that you have available to you. 553-5157 is the number to enroll, and we will be right back. We are back live. Once again, we appreciate you hanging with us this afternoon. And we are continuing with the Let the Bible Speak program, live radio call, question and answer program. And we are doing our best to give you book, chapter, verse of God's words, answers to the questions that are on your minds and on your hearts. 308-9564 is the number to reach us here at the station. Or you can text in your question to 725-9283. Ricky.
We have Cynthia calling back about that sixth month and wanted to know if it was talking about Elizabeth's pregnancy or a month of the year. Cynthia, you are exactly right. In this context, it is talking about the sixth month of pregnancy. And so it is during that time that she was with child and the sixth month of the pregnancy. I didn't know that you were wanting to know. Okay, so you're right. The context does show that is the sixth month of pregnancy, not the sixth month of the year. And so, very good. Thank you so much for that added information and added question there and helping us out with that. We have Sarah also calling in this question. Sarah, thank you so much for your question, and thank you for listening, as well as Cynthia and all of you that have called and participated this far. We are so glad that you have such an interest in knowing what God says in His Word, and hopefully that we are able to just let God be heard through His Word and that we are being invisible. Sarah's question is, if a friend is in abuse in marriage, what can I tell her to help her? Well, it's sad to see that homes in this world are so broken. The thing is, most of the world does not even know it is broken. Matter of fact, I myself was raised in a home that was just abusive in many, many different ways. And when I told my parents, when I got a teenager and some of my sassiness as a teenager, I told them, I said, my home will never be this way. Of which they promptly came right back and let me have it, saying, boy, you don't know what you're talking about. Everybody's home is this way. Well, it's not. If we build our homes by God's design, our home does not have to be that way. It does not have to be a battleground. It doesn't have to be a pit stop where you just come in, eat, fuel up, and leave again. No, the home can be a place of joy and peace, a place of fulfillment, a place of comfort. But that's only if we build our homes by God's design. But a home that is built by God's design is a home where that God is the one that tells us how to behave. I guess in one passage that would help and has helped me and my family, by the way, I held true to my promise. My home was not that way. And thus, but only I cannot take credit for that. It's just that I was determined to make certain that God was going to be the one in charge and not me, myself. And so when we started following what God says in His Word, it made home a place of extreme joy and peace. In Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 21, it makes it very clear that this kind of home is very vastly different than the kind of home that we commonly see around us today. The very first verse, verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. See, that's the exact opposite in most homes. Most homes, it's going to be my way or no way. And they're going to do everything they can to get it my way, my way. And it's all about me, me, me. And that's exactly opposite than what God says the home should be. And then beginning with verse 22, he addresses the wives and how the wife should behave. Beginning with verse 25, he addresses the husband, how he should behave, and how that he should love the wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And it goes on to give several other things all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 33. Then you can also look at 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 10, and you'll see there, step by step by step, exactly the way the home is supposed to be. Now, one of the things that's in our day and a time in our country, unfortunately, that is very difficult to swallow is God's suggestion that wives submit to their own husbands as to the Lord. Well, in verse 21, he says all of us are supposed to submit. We've got to learn how to submit and obey. That's the problem in America. None of us have learned how to submit. We want it my way. It is all about me. And that is so disquieting. That is so unnerving. That's what's destroying our society. Me, 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 me. Got to have it my way. And if you don't hear it from people, you hear it on commercials. You know, you deserve a break today, or you got to have a Mac attack, or you've got to get it now. And the thing is, that is destroying the mentality that God wants us to have to begin with of selflessness. And so wives are supposed to learn to be that way. Husbands are supposed to be that way. It's not just the wife. Notice what he said about the husbands in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, how much did Christ love the church? He loved the church so much that he gave himself for it. He died for it. And so do you see that kind of husband today? Well, those of you wives that have that kind of husband, is it hard for you to submit to a husband that behaves that way? No. Nor is it hard for us as God's people to submit to a Savior that demonstrated that much love for us. See, that's the way the home was supposed to be. Unfortunately, and I'm so sorry that she's having to go through such a horrible marriage as that, but that does not erase the responsibility that we are to be, and that is to do it God's way, even if our mate is not doing it God's way. Now, if there is a physical abuse, then the law needs to take care of that physical abuse. Romans chapter 13, they are the ones that execute judgment here and now. And hopefully, that person that is not behaving according to the law, that they will learn from such vengeance that is given by the powers that be. Romans 13, beginning with verse 3, for rulers are not a terror for good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Well, do what is good, and you will have praise of the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, that is government, to avenge and execute wrath on him who practices evil. So there is a means available. And so the only other thing that I could suggest would be 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And that talks about if the unbeliever depart, let him depart. But it never gives that the believer that has broken the marriage because of such abuse as that ever the right to marry again. 1 Corinthians 7 never mentions remarriage. So be mindful of that. If you make that step, then that you will have to make yourself a eunuch for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 11 and 12. So, Sarah, hopefully that is helpful to you. Again, those passages were Romans 13, talking about the government being able to take care of such abusers as that. Ephesians chapter 5, 21 through the end of the chapter. And then also Matthew 19 still says the same thing, verses 3 through 12. Thank you for your question. And thank you for being such a good friend to her. And hopefully that will be of comfort to you. I would encourage her to be what God wants her to be. And by all means, that is always the best way to approach it. And 1 Corinthians 7 does go ahead and say, hopefully, and 1 Peter 3, the unbeliever may be sanctified by the good works of the believing spouse. So there is a possibility, and so that would be the greatest benefit of all. Again, the number is 3089564. Thank you for your question, and I will pray that the Lord will bless you in helping that friend. Again, the number is 3089564. The lines are now available. Go ahead and call in your question. That is our voice line, 3089564. Or if you'd rather text us at 725-9283.
We're just being able to look at the answers in God's word here, and we always want to stress and let people know that these are not our answers. You know, far too often we hear people say, well, you said, or you guys are saying, well, you know, and well, that's just your interpretation of what God's word says. Well, again, the program's called Let the Bible Speak, and we honestly try to do our best with just giving you God's word, book, chapter, and verse, and just being able to figure out what's God's full picture on things. One of the things we can't help but notice out of the scriptures is how usually there are multiple places that God talks about how to deal with something. Concerning marriage, is not just Matthew 19, but there's 1 Corinthians 7, there's Ephesians chapter 5. And there are other places that talk about the marriage relationship. And so there are usually multiple different passages that deal with the same subject. And that's called God's manifold wisdom, wisdom of many folds. There's many different facets, many different ways that God reveals his wisdom to us. And so we as people, we probably couldn't even really grasp God's fullness as far as what he would really have us to do all at one time. And so he shows us a little bit here, a little bit there, talks about a little bit here, a little bit there, and allows us to pick up on the things that he would have us to do and how he wants us to respond to different situations while living in this life. Now, some things are very, very difficult for us to deal with, but a lot of times we get ourselves in bad situations and we make bad decisions, and next thing you know, we want God to bail us out. So it causes a lot of self-examination, and we should be focusing on, am I applying God's word to my life in every area possible, as much as possible? Am I applying God's word to my life in every area possible, as much as possible? That's something that we should be considering, and that's why we offer you the Bible Correspondence Course. So it can encourage you to think about situations like that, as well as about thinking about eternity and thinking about things of spiritual matters, godly matters, and encourage you to do that, because there's far too many distractions in the world. So hopefully you will take advantage of the Bible Correspondence Course. That we will be coming up on a break, and we'll be telling you about that. And so we would encourage you once again to take advantage of the opportunities of signing up for the Bible Correspondence Course. And you will also receive the free DVD as well as the Bible reading schedule for 2014. We'll be right back, 3089564. You can call even while I break to call in your question, 3089564. We'll be right back. We are back live. We got about a half an hour left and about two more segments left in the program. So we want to encourage you, go ahead and call in your questions. Go ahead and call them in. We got, there's one line available as we speak. So go ahead and call in 308-9564, 308-9564. Or if you don't want to deal with having to wait in line for the phone to ring, you can text in your question, 725-9283. Ricky, you got a question that's different from earlier, or it's a continuation?
Hey, no, another question on the same subject, and it'll be the same passage of Scripture. So the question, and it's from a text line 113, and you must have just tuned in, and so we appreciate that. The question is, what does the Bible say about divorce and remarriage, the person you were married to? Well, again, the same passage, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9 says, I say unto you, whosoever divorces his wife except for fornication, sexual immorality, and marries another commits adultery, and whosoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. So there's the same passage again. That's Matthew chapter 19 and verses 3 through 12. And we encourage all of you that have questions concerning the dissolving of a marriage or multiple marriage questions, the same answer is contained in each of those, for each of those scenarios. The passage still addresses all of that. So thank you for your question. We sure do appreciate it, and hopefully that's been helpful to you. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
Once again, we are waiting for your calls to keep coming in, 308-9564. Go ahead and take advantage of the time that you have here. We deal with a lot of questions coming in towards the end of the broadcast, and so we don't want to have to start the program or change and mess things up with your question. We want to go ahead and get your question answered today. So help us out by go ahead and calling in your question, 308-9564, and so you won't run the risk of us having to start the program next week with your question or having to roll over until next week. So we want to just encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity that you have here, 308-9564. We want you to ask your question. Maybe something happened in your worship service today, or maybe something happened this week and you want to know what God's word says about what's going on, and hopefully that is the focus of why you're tuning into this program, so that you want to know what God says, not what we say, but what God says. And so it's our earnest desire to let the Bible speak. 308-9564, 308-9564.
Now is your chance to call in your question. The lines are available, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. David calls in, and his question is more of a statement and then ends with a question. Says he's amazed at how we answer the questions. He wants to know how we are able to do that. Is it because of some degree or reading or what? Well, David, it's just we do what God says. God says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study or give diligence to show yourself approved unto God. Psalm 19 verse 11 says, hide the word of God in your heart. I messed that up. It says
2 Peter 2:15 is what you're talking about. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a reason for the defense.
Now, see, that just goes to show you that we don't have all the answers, or we don't have all the verses memorized.
Yeah, there you go. See, as soon as you start praying, you a reason not to.
So here's the verse I was referring to. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we've got to hide it in our heart. We have to study it. We have to apply it. We must be doers of the word and not hearers only. And the more that we use God's word, if it truly is a map, a guide into our path, and a guide into our way, if it's a light to our path, it will make a difference in our lives.
Now, David, let me tell you something about Ricky. You asked about degrees. Ricky has 98 degrees.
Sometimes it runs up to 103 when I get sick. But David, what it comes down to is we just have to study. And if we are devoted to the book, then the book is going to be in our hearts. Now, sitting across from me at the other microphone, and again, this is not to praise him or to give him any glory. Chuck, across from me here, he started his journey in studying God's word about 3 years ago. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
And has already, you're saying you're amazed, has already committed hundreds of verses of scripture to memory. And the thing is, the more you use it, the more it sticks to you. And so, David, you can do the same thing. No matter what age we are, the more we study, the more it will just be within us. And so neither one of us have gone to school, a formalized school, for any kind of degree or any kind of teaching. We just go to the Word of God and let the answer be from God's Word. And by the way, there's only 66 books in the Bible, and there's only 27 in the New Testament. And what we're going to be judged by is what Jesus says in the New Testament. And so what we've got to do is we've just got to be devoted to that. And so it's really, that's all. I'm amazed at what little I do know about the Bible. I know people that know far more about it than me. And so that's one thing about God's Word. The more you study, however much you know, the more you see what you don't know. And so it is a never ending wealth that we are digging into here. And so we've got a treasure chest that has no bottom to it. And so the more we dig, the more exciting it gets. And David, I hope you experience the same thing. The more we dig into God's Word, the more precious it is, the more effect it'll have on our life. And that just feeds our desire to know more about God. After all, it was the Lord himself that said that in flaming fire taken vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So there's a little bit of fear associated with this too. I don't want that fire. I don't want that vengeance. I don't want the wrath of God. Do you? Well, the way to prevent that from occurring is I've got to know God. And I have got to obey his word. And there's only one way to do that. I've got to know his word if I'm going to obey it. And I have got to do my best to know this God whom we serve. And the only way to know him is to know what his word says. So, David, I would encourage you to do the same thing. If you've never enrolled in the Bible course, why don't you take this chance, this opportunity, this privilege to be able to dig into God's word. Call our Bible correspondence line at 553-5157. We'll send you a Bible course in the mail absolutely free. Now, if you've already got it, then go ahead and fill it out and continue on through the Bible correspondence courses. There are several that we offer, and thus you're able to grow in the Lord as well. But as you study, David, don't just let it reach your head. Let it sink to your heart, and don't let it stop at your heart. Let it sink to your feet and cause you to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Thank you, David, for call. Thank you for your encouragement. We hope God's word is a big encouragement to you.
Leslie has a question. Leslie says, if a Christian is not living right, what should the church or fellow Christians do about that? Well, there are a couple of things that we should be focused on here. And First Timothy, there's a couple of different things that we can see. In verse 24, maybe we can just remind them what they haven't been doing. We can remind them that First Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 says, "A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." If someone's not living right, they have allowed situations in this life to turn them from serving the Lord. And so there are many things that we should do, but the very first thing we should do is to show them God's word, and that in hopes that God's word will cut their heart and that they would be able to recognize how they need to change to get back on track at obeying God's words. Because that's all being a Christian is learning God's word and applying it to your life in every area. And, you know, he has many different ways that he wants us to show our love and obedience for him But it all starts with His Word. His Word is the only way that He communicates with us. And so we should be focused on what He says in His Word. And we should communicate with Him, praying to Him, and have a relationship with Him, and applying His words to our lives. And there are just many, many passages of Scripture that we should be able to show them. And as well as 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching." So there's a focus on teaching and being focused on God's word. And so that is what a fellow Christian should do about that to help them. They need to be able to be shown God's word and to turn back to serving the Lord according to what the word says. Matthew chapter 18 also mentions how we can handle someone who has not been doing right. That's Matthew 18 verses 15 through 20. So Matthew 18 verses 15 through 20, as well as the passages in 2 Timothy that we looked at earlier. 3089564. It is time for us to take our last break. 3089564. We have one more segment left after we get back from the break. And we will be able to let the Bible speak. Just to give you a heads up, we have a question here from Thomas that says, "What must I do to be saved?" And so me and Ricky are going to kind of tag team this a little bit towards the end of the broadcast. We figure it's a fitting way to end the broadcast. Or we can make sure that we will get your question. If you go ahead and call in your question, we will make sure we get that in before the end of the broadcast. 3089564. We'll be right back. Is the number to reach us here at the station, 3089564, or you can text in your question to 7259283, 7259283. Once again, this is our last segment. Go ahead, get your questions in.
So go ahead and call right now. The lines are available, so hurry and you can get your question in. 3089564, we got time. 308-WJNI, 3089564, or you can text us at 7259283. Just a reminder that we have the free DVD and Bible reading schedule on today's docket. If you want to enroll in the course, we're glad to send that to you. And by the way, it is free. One other mention about the correspondence course. If you've never enrolled in the course, there are things that you will discover in the process of taking this course that you may have never heard before. That is, it's never been mentioned in your church, or it's very possible because most denominations are restricted in the amount of God's word that is taught simply because of the doctrinal restrictions, denominational restrictions. Some of those things can keep you from going to heaven if you do not know about it. And so if we go to in our day-to-day process, so drive through our area where we live, and we break the speed limit. Let's say that we go through an area we don't know. We don't know what the speed limit is, and we get a ticket. And if we tell the officer, "Well, I didn't know it was that low," well, will he just say, "Oh, well, in that case, forget it. Go on, have a good day"? No, we are still bound to be able to obey the law, even if we're ignorant of it. And we are going to be held accountable to what God says, even if for some reason we have not been made aware of what God's word says. My friends, everybody in listening to my voice today has access to the Bible. Everyone. And there will be no excuse on the judgment day. Even though our church may not teach on it, we have the Bible available to us. And so we need to make certain that we know what God says, know what the truth is, follow the truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. And He will. If we will just seek, we will find. So go ahead and enroll, 553-5157. Don't be caught before the King of Kings and the Judge of all judges one day and try the excuse of, "Lord, I didn't know." Because He will not take that excuse. What has he done to make certain that we have the truth available to us? He gave us his own son. He's promised us we have his word, and we have it. Just because we may choose to bury our head in the sand because we want to, it's comfortable, that's what we've always done, he will not take that into consideration on the judgment day. Let's find out what he expects of us. If we're going to show ourselves approved unto God, let's do it by studying his word. Call 553-5157 and let's get the whole story, not just part of it. Before the break, we had Thomas calling this question, what must I do to be saved? And how should I pray for someone who isn't saved? Well, those are really good questions, Thomas, and we commend you for such a question as that. And that question is not a new question. That question has been asked for thousands of years. Matter of fact, it was even asked in the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, the very first day the church began, there Peter was preaching the gospel to thousands of people. And after he preached and let them convince them that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, the Messiah, well, they were struck by this. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And then he gave them the answer. Not only did they believe what they just heard, that, yep, the same Jesus who just less than 2 months before had been hung on a cross and died, now God made him Lord, Master, and Messiah, Christ. What should we do about this? Peter told them to repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, they heard this, and they were glad to hear this. And they were told, be saved, verse 40, from this perverse generation. So there was something else besides belief that they had to do. And verse 41 is where they were told that they were to... here's what they did in response to it. They gladly received the word and were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. What were they added to? Verse 47, they were added to the church. Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That's what they were told to do, and that's what we must do. Chuck?
Rick, I got a question. In verse 40, he said to be saved from this perverse generation. Well, they had already believed, so why did he tell them to be saved?
Well, that's a good question.
Does that mean they weren't saved?
Well, James 2 and verse 19 says the demons believe and tremble.
Also, just believing in Christ doesn't mean you're saved?
No. As a matter of fact, the devil believes, and the demons even confess their belief as Jesus met them from place to place.
But don't a lot of denominations teach all you have to do is believe,
well,
and you'll be saved?
I'm not going to do what they said.
Hey, yeah, let's going to do what the Bible says.
Yeah,
right?
Let's do what God says.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and this is just the very first example. If you go through the book of Acts, and by the way, those of you that are interested can go to our website and download a chart that actually lists all of these conversions in the book of Acts. There's an example in chapter 8 where the Samaritans, hearing, believing, were baptized. The Corinthians in chapter 16, even Simon the sorcerer believed and was baptized in Acts chapter 8. And then Saul was, after praying and fasting for 3 days, also was became a believer, having met Jesus face to face, and he was baptized. Matter of fact, Ananias told him in Acts 22 and verse 16 to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Wow. You mean baptism has... Does that mean that, Chuck, that baptism actually has something to do with washing away someone's sins?
Well, that's kind of weird that you ask, because one of the things that Jesus said before he left earth in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, when he was telling his disciples, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And verse 16 says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Huh. He specifically says, if you believed and you will be baptized, then you will be saved.
It's kind of like a math problem, isn't it? Like 1 + 1 = 2?
Seems like it. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So if you didn't believe, then you wouldn't get baptized.
Yeah.
So,
ladies and gentlemen, we hope we're not just we're not trying to belittle anybody, but God's word is so clear. It is so easy. Man is who makes it difficult. Man, with all these doctrines that man has come up with, that's where the problem becomes a problem. Even back then, in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9, Jesus tells them, "In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." There's where the problem comes. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got to get over what man has come up with, and let's go to the man for what we're going to follow. God's word, what Jesus says, because he's the one that's actually going to judge us. I'm not going to be holding anybody's hand. I won't even be holding my wife's hand on the judgment day. Only one that we're going to stand before who's going to be judging us is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so as we stand before him, with probably his nail-scarred hand still being visible, we're going to say, "But Lord, I didn't know." That's not going to get us anywhere. Let's know what God says in his word. It is very clear. It is easy. The Bible is filled with it. If you just go to our website, you can download that chart and print it as much as you want and give to your friends. And it will go through a full listing of all of those events that happened in the book of Acts. Matter of fact, the book of Acts is called the Book of Conversions because that's where the conversions are recorded. And you'll see over and over and over again that what they had to do exactly is exactly what we have to do. Everything they did is exactly what we have to do. It is not according to church doctrine. It is according to the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings. If we want that peace, and if we want to reign with him forever, then we need to make certain that we're doing what the king says. After all, he is Lord and Master. He is the king, and we've got to be his subjects. We are so thankful that you've taken out time to join us today to look into God's word, and we hope and pray that you will continue to call the Bible Correspondence Course line, which is 553-5157. Today is the last day that we're going to be sending out the DVD and the Bible reading schedule, and we're glad to send that to you again, free of charge, along with the correspondence course. But my friends, the correspondence course is where you will learn so much, because you will go through, you'll read it the very first lesson. It'll probably only take you 5 minutes to fill out. Then when we get that back in the mail, then we'll send you the next two lessons, lesson two and three. That'll take you a little bit longer. It'll be a little bit more challenging. And then you fill those out, send them back. We'll grade that along with sending you the next three lessons, lesson four, five, and six. And that'll take you a little bit longer, but it will so be worth it, because you will learn so much from God's word. And that's actually where you will probably learn things that you have never heard before. Did you hear me? It is just not being taught in many churches today, most churches.
And real quick, also, we want to let you know that you can dial that number. And if you are interested in having a Let the Bible Speak, hosting one in your home, then please go ahead and allow us to know that when you leave your information that you are interested in having a Let the Bible Speak in your home. And we will be able to come sit with you, meet with you, and give you answers to God's words.
One quick announcement I forgot to mention till now. So everybody get out your calendar and mark January 30th and February the 1st. January 30th, Friday, and February the 1st, Saturday, we're having our next area meeting in Goose Creek. So if you lived in the Hanahan, North Charleston, Monk's Corner, Somerville area, please mark your calendars down. That will be in the Goose Creek area, the last day of January and the first day of February.
That's January 31st. There's 31 days in January. January 31st and then February the 1st.
Well, fine time to tell me that. I already put it on the flyer, so I'll have to correct that. So that'd be January 31st and February 1st. And so there you go. The last day of January and the first day of February. And you will be invited to our meeting there in the Goose Creek area. So mark that down on your calendar. We hope and pray to meet you face-to-face. Again, we're out of time. We want you to know that we are glad to be able to be with you today and hope and pray. Let's see. We got a quick question that came in. If our church is not doing right, will God hear our prayers? Well, Isaiah, you'll find the answer in Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Thanks so much, Thomas. Appreciate that. We're out of time. Thank you for listening today. Listen again next week and every week to Let the Bible Speak.